Welcome to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson.
Jenna, I'm really excited to talk today about fear, or I guess even before we kind of go into the subject, is I love when we do podcasts centered around the energy of the time, you know. And what's so great about fear is, about the subject of fear, rather, is that it's timeless, right? Because there's at various points in our life, we're going to recognize fear-based thinking, no matter what's going on in society, right?
Right. I know. There's always a level of fear somewhere along the lines. Like, that's a part of, you know, our existence, is to face mm-hmm. that one way or another. So absolutely.
Yeah. To be warriors despite of it, because I don't know if there's people out there who don't experience fear. It's how you process it. And if you decide to move on beyond it, because if you think about really what is fear, well, it's really just heading into the unknown, anticipating an outcome that you hope not to have, right?
Right.
So it's, and therefore at all times we have unknowns ahead of us. And if we allow our mind to go to what we don't want, which so many schools of thought say, stop rehearsing in your mind movie the thing you don't want. Otherwise, that's what you're replaying. That's what you're creating a pattern to have happen, whether it be the law of attraction or biofield quantum healing type stuff. It's that's the law of attraction. That's the first law. So if we think about what don't I know about tomorrow? Well, it could go like this, and it could go like that. If it goes like that, oh, that makes me very afraid. And then we continue to stew on that. And so it's very, very easy. And I think that the biggest thing before we even move down this, you know, podcast is to know that we all face it. And there's no expert that has finally had, I'm now fearless. You know, I never face fear anymore.
Right. Yeah. I remember growing up, and my dad would say, you know, most of what we worry about never actually really happens. And so you're kind of reminding me too of that. We have so much inner dialogue and so much that we talk about in the mind that almost could think of every scenario imaginable, right? It can go places, and it can go pretty far and wide with its imagination. And it's almost as if it has happened. And I know as an empath that even as I watch movies, because I've learned so much about who I am, to not destroy or disrupt my whole internal system, that when I'm watching something, you know, to make sure that I'm kind of realizing, right, okay, this is something that is showing up on this screen, but how much of that do I need to absorb, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's huge right now. And I think that no matter if we have really high empathic, you know, sensitivities or whatever, how much we're bombarded with so many messages, this could happen. This is, you know, there's just so much around like fright, fear, you know, and constantly over and over, you know, how much of that downloading can we really take? And and then, you know, as far as like really noticing the inner dialogue, and if we want to kind of keep things clear and in a good perspective on things, there's a lot around, I think, media influences, and how much are we downloading? And that, I think, is a big one today, that we're so much, there's just so much that we can see on a daily basis that, I mean, we might feel at all times, the body's like, well, clearly all the time there's some type of battle or there's war, you know, in a way, on a very basic level. I don't think the body sees or the mind any different. It's like, you're at constant threat right now. You're, you know, and, even, you know, minusing this time with the whole virus thing, just in general, we can see that there's constant like threat to the system with so much stress going on in the world and in the way that we live and operate. A big question is like, what, you know, really serves me at this time? Does the way I'm living and operating and the type of things that I allow into my home, are they serving me, you know, type of thing? Yeah.
Yeah. I like the way you refer to it as like the basement dwelling side, you know, like the ego can get so caught up in fear because whatever you are fearing might have a, you know, threaten something that keeps your ego pretty happy you know, all fat and happy with what your idea of success is, what your idea of relationship looks like. It's so caught up in it. If it doesn't go this way, I am so attached to the way I think it should be that suffering is created, which is basically the rule of Buddhism, is that attachment comes from suffering
yeah.
to what is not. And, you know, another quote that I've loved so much about fear is that fear is like accumulating debt on purchases you haven't even made yet.
Mm.
And how profound is that? Like, you know, when yeah. you think of buying a home and it's like, okay, we're going to have this much debt and oh, but you don't even have a home. You're just accumulating the debt without the home. <It's> like, you know, I would rather have a home and then, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you said about, you know, all the fear and that it's like it's happening right now is that, you know, there's incredible minds of today, like Dr. Joe Dispenza, who has done so much work and any kind of quantum field healing and understanding is that what your mind puts yourself through right now, your body cannot tell the difference to whether or not it's actually happening in front of you or you're only imagining it happening. So if you are imagining and accruing that debt of fear and you are putting yourself through the what if scenarios, you are running your body through it every time you think of it as if it is happening. You're recalling, maybe it's you know, the fear of what did happen or the fear that it could happen again. So now you even have a faster recall to a genuinely traumatic experience, an experience that you came through fear out the other side. If you think about it, there goes bathing the cells with all of those stress hormones, with all of the biochemistry that your body went through when it really happened. Well, now studies literally show that even if you physically have not yet gone through it, your body starts to be biochemically run through the experience just by thoughts alone. So the way that we invest and allocate our mind, you really have to look at it as it's going to change your body. It's either going to change your body for the positive or it's going to change your body for the negative because you're dwelling on the what ifs. And that's why they show the immune system is in some like four day period. There's now a big study that's happening through Dr. Joe Dispenza. He is someone I follow quite a lot and read all the material I can, where it shows that in a 4 day period by using heart coherent emotions, so positive coherence, through the heart area, through the heart chakra, and literally the heart rate value, that the more they held that and they did meditations a few times per day for 15 minutes, in a 4 day period, they increased the IgA by more than 50%. The immunoglobulin A is a huge immunosupportive, it's a huge marker towards your immune system. So by noticing in a 4 day period, by studying that it can elevate by more than 50% in 4 days. And imagine how difficult it is to hold consecutively positive emotions and positive thoughts. The little other side, you know, there's like the angel and the devil on one shoulder and they're like, do this, don't do this, you know, in cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the more that you listen to that other side, how hard is it to hold positive thoughts for a really long consecutive time? Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to believe in the possibilities, the what ifs and the positives, than it somehow is to believe in the negatives, the what ifs and the I don't want these scenarios. So imagine if we put with such effort towards the positive and what we actually want to create that, you know, it could imagine just how quickly we can change our physiology if we put as much belief into the positive what ifs versus the fear what ifs and how quickly you can change your immune system. And that's really where the biggest concern I find with any fear-based scenario happening and being pushed by the media is how much that fear is going to change your immune system. So if it happens to be in the media, things like viruses and immune system related compromised situations, diseases, diagnostics, there's huge studies that show that symptoms of a disease that was just diagnosed amplify completely right after diagnostics, right after they receive the diagnosis. There are people who have no idea that they had, let's say, cancer, and then upon diagnosis, and a lot of people tell the story a little differently. They say, yeah, we had no idea they had cancer, and within 6 weeks of diagnosis, they died. It's not because you guys didn't know, and had you known sooner, not always, sometimes of course it is, but had you known sooner, it could have gotten better. It's the amplification of illness of that organism, the person, once they knew what was growing inside them. They created fear, they compromised their immune system, and it probably got worse much quicker because of it. And then there's the placebo and the nocebo effect. So everyone knows of the placebo effect, where you could be given a sugar capsule for in lieu of a prescription medication, and they see the same results, if not sometimes better placebo results, just from the power of belief. We'd have to be completely ostriches with our heads in the sand to think that if the placebo has not been used as long as it has been, and it's known to be accurate and true, then why don't we take more responsibility for the thoughts that we give ourselves? Because what you've done is believe in this pill, and you have created biochemistry in your own body to become well from your own thoughts. So if you have fear-based thoughts, if you're being led around by your nostrils, by the media, on like, oh no, this is the study we have, so follow this, and no, follow that, and we give up our power, and we start giving up the health of the organism, that being our bodies, we open ourselves up to all kinds of stuff, all from fear. And it's the hardest thing for me when I work with people, for them not to believe they have that much control over the biochemistry and what happens in their body, as if the diagnostic was out of their control and now they're a victim. Nope, you were right before it. You were a different person, right?
You know? True. And we're just so much more capable than we give credit for. And, you know, if we can really take a good look at anything that we see, read, hear, or involved in, how does it make me feel? And know that really, as because you've talked so much beautifully about, Stephanie, is the physiology is responding to what we are hearing, saying, our inner dialogue. So if we can disrupt our system so much, which we know, you know, there's so much stress walking around kind of on a low dose of, you know, inflammation in our body or whatever, that we're doing all that to a lot to ourselves. No one else is, you know, really, you know, we are responsible. And if we can kind of gunk up the body, so to speak, kind of, you know, feel this heaviness and such high level of stress, then what can we do? Like you said, that is so much about, like, you know, revitalizing that inner physiology and it's through the power of belief, the power of thought, you know, and doing. There's just so many practices that we might run or rethink that we do on a daily basis that might be not, you know, adding so much value. And it's like, where am I placing and where am I investing myself in? Mm-hmm. And so these are always good questions I like to ask myself. And I am not above any of this it's just about reflection, right? It's about actually thinking, is this helping me to evolve? Does this bring comfort or discomfort? Do I feel ease or at dis-ease with any information coming my way? And one of the things that really gets to me, and I'm very much like, I love researching, I love, you know, reading and just constantly, like, you know, gathering information. But when I see information out there that has no solutions, to me, it gets very tiring, because I also wonder, what is the bigger agenda on that? Because in everything, if we are so capable, out there, there's this always like fear and no solutions, nothing, around, hey, this is what you can do, except for, you know, there is some amazing people out there, like you have mentioned, Joe Dispenza, and there's so many people, but we don't hear them. Their voices are maybe a little more quieted, but they're still there. And I want to have that more highlighted, that we go to those people that are saying, you know what? It's not that we don't see it. We see it, because that would be like telling a child, no, you shouldn't be afraid of that. Like, stop, you know, get up and just move along. But we do want to be like, yeah, fear is a part of our world. And there are these things, there's resistance, there's something going on. We want to address it, but also, what is the solution? Mm-hmm. What can we do with that? Yeah.
Yeah. And even when you go to these people, these what do we call them? Spiritual warriors. That's what we've been talking about lately. They actually then tell you to go within. They don't even tell you that you need them anymore. You know what? But if we're looking for someone in the media to listen to and to read, like, you know, maybe we're looking for information. We're looking for what to believe when circumstances either keep pounding on you, like you keep trying to climb out of a pool on a ladder whose bottom rungs keep getting cut off. So you're climbing, you look to information, you're looking around because your circumstance does look like you might have fear or apprehension or anxiety, like someone's continually cutting my ladder. You know, the really ideal thing to do would be to focus on your breathing. Right? It would be to focus on, okay, I'm still going to maintain. I'm still going to climb this ladder with excellent precision, because if I falter with too much anxiety and stress, I'm not going to stay above. Right? And it's all about going, when you look to these people, they say, do you know what could do it? It's with holding heart coherent emotions. It's with transmuting the energies that you feel by tools such as EFT, tapping. Because to me, it's a lot like the latter example. Sometimes life really is pouring you a whole bunch more water than you're able to get out of the pool with. And so you have to process that. It's how you handle it. Do you continue to keep your eye on the person pouring water into the pool? Or are you thinking within yourself, what can I do? What can I change? How can I strengthen? What can I, you know, what can I be different? And tapping, in my opinion, is to me the easiest thing to transmute the reality, your reality that you find yourself in, which, you know, if that happens to be a compromised immunity or world related, you know, health or finances, like those realities are sometimes they seem like they are beyond your own action as far as how it contributes to the greater whole. So what you need to do is change how you handle it. And so I would encourage anyone listening to look up tapping. There are YouTube videos. There are so many instructional scripts and guides right now, like the book, The Tapping Solution, Jessica and Nick Ortner. And so many other people do this that I would almost find it, there's just go on YouTube and look for some tapping and then look up tapping on whatever emotion you're feeling. Fear, tapping on fear. That's what we're talking about today. Tapping on anxiety, tapping on nervousness, something like this. And just do it. It seems to be bioaccumulative for me. The longer you do it, the more effect it has on all kinds of fears. I remember doing it over the frozen shoulder I had, and it was the fastest results of any supplemental thing I've ever done in my life. So at all, whether that be taking remedies, you know, even practicing meditation, practicing yoga, none of them work as fast as tapping does. And the long-term results for the way my fear and worry and anxiety was over my frozen shoulder, then months and months later over the fear of, you know, at the time, you know, coronavirus 2020 was just coming into the news. Within a 6-month period of my frozen shoulder. And I handled fear over that situation way better than I probably would have had I not already been tapping on the biochemical reactions, the like domino effect that fear would have caused, had I not already been working on fear within my body for something else.
Yeah. It's powerful, isn't it? Because it really lets you talk and be real with your inner dialogue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like I ignore you or I'm going to shove you down. It's so like, it's such a quick, straight to the point, you know, remedy. And it's amazing. I really love what you said about the great warriors or teachers out there that are offering this, you know, teachings and wisdom. But that's such a good point you made, that when they say you don't actually need me, it's really, really important, because we'll see information out there and it's almost like you need me. This is, you know, or any doctor, any type of situation where it feels that way, like, yeah, you need me and you can't move further. We need to really rethink that. And so when anybody gives us back the power, then we want to go, yes, that feels really good inside. And so tapping is huge. And then I also love, breath work, but then there's lately I've been doing a sound training. It's a healing that's just all audios and hearing the sounds. And of course, you know, we've known anciently, you know, in Tibet, they chant every day. And so it's very simple. I like the way that this particular program breaks it down. I mean, just humming, just like hum. And then you pause, take another deep breath and hum, and you'll see, like, do that like five good solid hums of just going, you know, just nothing. You don't have to have a good voice, and you'll feel that vibration that it creates. It settles everything up. We're going to think clearer. We're going to make better choices. So yeah.
It's and huge. We very naturally and instinctively use sound. We just don't necessarily recognize that it has an effect. So one of the most commonly used sounds that are intended for healing is when something's sad, or you fall and you do it to a kid or something like that, we go, "Aww."
Oh, yeah.
We immediately send out frequency to emanate. And then what I often do, if I've, you know, you walk it around, you stub your toe, I immediately have gotten so used to using sound healing now that I cup my hands. I kind of rub my hands together. I cup the area that's wounded, and I move through all sorts of sounds until I find the one that's right to that area. But, you know, cause it's interesting, root chakra sounds, heart chakra sounds, throat chakra sounds, and you just find it. And it can sometimes be incredibly guttural, and sometimes it's like high and it's like, what is this? But you just keep that frequency going. I usually use my hands as well. And it's just better. It's just better, like, so fast. You're just sending, we are electromagnetic, you know, energetic beings. And we know all about the energy of music and how it can change. I wrote an article, did some research on an article I wrote for Vino magazine back in the day, on wine and how much the music that was playing during wine tasting, the exact same wine was being drank, but different music was playing. And these professional wine tasting, the excellent sommeliers, they got different things out of the wine, the exact same wine, by the way they were made to feel by the frequency of music.
Incredible. So, that's incredible. Yeah.
Including the wine being absolutely delicious. This is the best. And then some horrible discordant music plays. And now the wine is absolutely horrible. But it's the same wine. And it's fascinating. And then they do that for a retail. You know, they play certain music at different times of day to promote more buying, but also to promote, like, right before closing. Now a lot of times the workers are just moving the music around to what they want. But back in the day, you know, there would be specific music intended to make you stay. And then before closing, to make you go and to make you buy. And it's really unfortunate when you go into a place and they're playing the wrong music and you don't want to stay there and you don't even know why. Because of the frequency, the energy of sound. And so sound, that's a great one. Tapping, meditation, and like you said, breath work, another innate example of what breath work does for your flight or fight response or your rest and digest response. The parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system is when something is shocking, we inhale quickly and, like, you know, we take a deep breath in. And I don't know if that's going to convey on a podcast recording or not. Hopefully it does. But, you know, you take that deep inhale and you're caught off guard. You were surprised, you were shocked, because breathing can instantly change your hormones. It instantly puts you into a fight or flight response, and now you are able to move away from what just scared you or shocked you or is you're afraid of. So if we put into anytime you feel fear, if you literally just took a few moments to count, inhale six, hold for six, exhale six. If that's all you, if it's three, do three. Inhale for three, hold for three, out for three. Try, you know, don't go too high above five or six when you're first starting this.
That's right.
Just give it a go. And then just see if you can even them out. See if you are having trouble receiving, which is your inhale, or if you're having trouble giving. There's so much insight to the way you're able to breathe or not breathe. So I love that you said breath work. Meditation is an interesting thing. When someone is afraid, full of stress, anxiety, they feel at least equipped to be able to meditate during that time. And yet it's the time you need it the most. And you could even be done with meditation and feel as if it was completely ineffective time. But trust me, it's working. It's getting there. And if all you can meditate on is heart coherent emotions, then do that. Just think about the times that made your heart sing. Just think about that and call that your meditation. It's amazing. Another thing that's been helping me incredibly much is something that I saw on Elizabeth Gilbert, the writer of author of Eat, Pray, Love. She did this thing called 5-4-3-2-1. And a five was to become present in your body. You look around and you find five things you can see. And that takes a little few minutes, but you're starting to gather your senses. And then you take four things that you can hear. So now you're like trying to find four things. You know, can I really find four? And can I decipher them? And so you're becoming very present. And then it's three things that you can feel. So is it socks? You know, what can you feel on your physical? Two things that you can smell and one thing you can taste. And it's amazing how quickly that brings you back into your body and into a present moment. And then the other thing for me that I've been noticing, I know this podcast is getting a little long, but it is to transmute whatever it is you're thinking or saying or feeling into something that you're grateful for. So if during, you know, stressful times you're worried about, is your job going to stay? And you start relaying the story that you actually don't want. You're thinking all about it. Instead, be grateful for the things you have. Is it a cabinet full of food? Is it a bunch of toilet paper? Is it your family that no matter what you don't have, you have them? Or whatever it is that you can be grateful for, change the energy that you're emitting to something of gratitude. And then the other thing that my colleague, we've interviewed her for our podcast before, Paula Vetter, she says to act, think, speak, and write as if you don't have that situation. So for me, it was dermatomyositis, the autoimmune disease I was diagnosed with. Act, think, speak, and write as if you don't have that. Therefore, if I wake up one day with a stiff shoulder, I'm not immediately thinking, oh, fear, oh, it's probably dermatomyositis. I've read those symptoms before. I've got clients and they all have it. And it's probably what I don't want it to be. And I'm investing debt into something I haven't even purchased yet. Or did I think, act, speak, and write as if I don't have it? Huh, I slept a little weird today. I'm just going to do some healing and I'll be fine, you know? And it's, to me, amazing is that. And also another tool, Eckhart Tolle just did a little podcast. And he said that anytime you have allowed your thoughts and your words to say something you don't want more of, just say cancel, cancel, cancel. Just put that out there. Just cancel, cancel, cancel. Let me instead bring to voice what it is I do want more of. So don't tell the story anymore of what you do not want. And fear and through the tapping of these tools, you'll manage it much better.
Oh, that's great. Good techniques, right? We can always have more and more techniques, or just be refreshed and reminded, right, of the techniques that are out there. And I just, yeah, love this podcast. I think in summing it up too, it's just about, you know, we think often about the outer environment, but just remembering to think about how does this make my internal environment feel? Thank you. That was fun to chat with you.
Thank you. And we will listen to you guys for our next subject and watch the world and stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection, with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson. Subjects cover holistic health, nutrition, yoga, philosophy, spirituality, astrology, parenting, relationships, conscious living, sustainable practices, and so much more. At no time does this podcast offer medical advice and is for educational purposes only. It remains your decision to pursue any information and do not hold your hosts or their guests liable. More information available at theselfstudyproject.com.